morning, church. Children going back today? Yep. Youngsters can head out. Unless you'd like to stay, and then you can stay. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see you guys today. We're blessed. I have a thing that I pray for the church in my daily devotions, and as I was doing it this week, this prayer, this is what the Lord gave me to bring today. And the prayer is, it says we desire to be pure and obedient, so our love for each other will be sincere and from the heart. Give us a spirit of unity so we glorify you with one heart and voice. Help us accept one another in love. So as I was praying that for the church this week, the Lord said you really should explain a little bit why I would like the church to be in unity. So that's what we're going to do today. So if you would pray with me, and we'll get in with the lesson. Father, I thank you today for giving me words to share with the body of Christ. Lord, I thank you that you speak to us through your word, and Father, that you speak to the body of Christ through your servants. Father, I will be your servant this morning. So, Father, say what you want to say. Don't allow me to get in your way at all, but, Father, just allow me to be used by you. Father, give us ears to hear what you're saying to the church. In Jesus' name, amen. I was going to go to Colossians, but we're going to start in John today. We'll end up in Colossians in a minute, but go to John 17. As I was preparing for this, I thought, well, you know what, Jesus had a really good prayer for the church back in John chapter 17. And so I want to look at his prayer. It's actually in verses, beginning with verse 20. We're going to look at 20 through 23 today. There are about three books here of Jesus just talking. He's just speaking to the church, speaking to the disciples. And then in this part right here, he's praying for believers. And he just got done praying for the disciples in this prayer in the garden. And he says, my prayer is not for them alone, which he's talking about the disciples there when he says that. But he said, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. So that's all of us. He's praying for all of us because we believe in him, because of the message that the disciples brought, because of the things that we read in the Word of God. A lot of these books were written by the disciples and by Paul, so this is words from the disciples, and we're John is actually writing this one. But he said, it's for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So, why does the church need unity? That's what the Father desires. And then we have to ask the question, well, how do we as believers make that happen? How can we, as a body of Christ, and as you know, we're just a small part of the body of Christ, so how can we be in unity, not just here, but with the body of Christ at large? We have probably 61 or 62 churches that meet here in Marr County. So we're just a little part of the body of Christ in Marr County. So you think about that then as a state. How many different bodies are around in the state of Ohio? And then think of it in the United States, and then take it to other countries. We're part of the body of Christ in the world. It's a little bit easier for me to understand that as a Gideon, because we have Gideon camps in 200 countries around the world. So there's people who believe like we do in a lot of other parts of the country, in other parts of the world. I was at a Gideon event yesterday morning. We had a day of prayer for just for the Gideons, and we do that in every June. And there was a bunch of us there, and they were saying some of them have been to other countries and shared in the Gideon ministry in other countries, and they said that even in other countries there are the different denominations, but there's no difference in them. They said when you go from one church to another in other countries, you don't see the division, the things that divide the body of Christ as you do here in the United States. I thought, well, that's, I wonder why that is. And possibly because they have a little better handle on who Jesus is and what he's done for them than we do, maybe. So many times we get hung up in our traditions, in the traditions of men, where we came from. Most of you know me, that I grew up in the Mennonite church. I don't know where all of you grew up in church. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. There are good people in every place that worships God. And so I think God wants us to see this morning that the body of Christ is a big, big unit, and it needs to be in unity. So let's go over to Colossians chapter 3 to see what the Lord has for us today. I can find it. Colossians 3, we're going to begin in verse 12. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude or thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So these verses answer the how. How do we reach this thing of unity that the Father wants us to have. And I pulled out 7 different, I called them virtues, because that's what it calls them here in these verses. They're in chapter, in verse 14, over all these virtues, put on love. Kind of have to add love to the end of all of them, because that's what binds them all together. So the first one it says there is compassion. What is compassion? I didn't look it up, but I think of compassion as having sympathy or for brothers and sisters, feeling what they feel. Let's go to Romans chapter 15 to look at some things here on compassion. Romans 15, verse 1. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. So to have a compassionate heart, to be compassionate, to have sympathy for your brothers and sisters, it kind of gets self out of the way, doesn't it? Kind of means we have to put others before ourselves. Jesus first, yourself last, others in between. So we who are strong bear the feelings of the weak. We're to build each other up. We're to strengthen each other, to encourage one another. And Galatians 16:2 says we're to carry each other's burdens. I was thrilled at Sunday school this morning. We had 15 of us back there. We're just about out drilling a room in the back. And we're thankful for that. As I said, when we get too big for it, well, we're going to come out here. But we have a time of prayer, time to pray for one another. And it's always a fun time. It's always good. And I enjoy it because I learn then how to pray for you during the week as I spend my time with the Father. I bring you up to the Lord and lift you up to the Lord. So then I know how to do that for the ones who are there, because they share what's going on in their lives. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, 9 o'clock every Sunday morning, why, the Sunday school time meets. It's a good time. It's a really good time in the Lord. The second virtue that it says there in Colossians is kindness. What's kindness have to do with it? And I guess you really can't, and Doug mentioned it in Sunday school this morning, you really can't go through these without looking at this. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And there's no law against these things. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. One of the first verses I remember memorizing as a kid is, be ye kind one to another. Obviously that was out of King James Version. Because as ye in there instead of you. You be kind to one another, but it said be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And that's found in Ephesians 4:32. And my Bible says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ, as in Christ, God forgave you. In that, you have to look at the Lord's Prayer even to see that He said, forgive as God forgives you. So if we don't forgive, then how can God forgive us? We have to be forgiving. But kindness is there. Be ye kind one to another. The third virtue is humility. If you're writing these down, if you're taking notes, in humility, I want to look at Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. Jonah, Micah, if you're following along. Micah 6, 8 says, He has shown you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. We were talking about in Sunday school this morning, talking about worship, and that worship is surrender. And when we were talking about Noah, because he's a really good example of humility and surrender to God, how God told him to build an ark, and instead of arguing with God, he did it. I mean, he was in a place that there wasn't even any water. But God told him to build an ark, and he did it. He was obedient to the Father. And he was very humble, if you can imagine. Any of you going out in your yard and starting to build a boat that was so big that you couldn't move it, people come by and ask, what in the world are you doing? God told me to build a boat, so I'm doing it. That's basically what Noah did there, because this thing was huge. This boat was bigger than he could move. There wasn't any water to transport it anywhere. And they hadn't seen it rain, so they were wondering what in the world this guy is doing. It took some humility, didn't it, for Noah to build the ark. But he was obedient to God, and he did that. But as children of God, as we're preparing our hearts to walk in unity with one another and with the body of Christ, we have to be humble. Pride can have no place in our hearts as we walk together in the fear of the Lord, as we come together in unity with the body of Christ. The fourth thing that it mentions there in Colossians 3 is gentleness. 2 Timothy 2:25, it says, those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant him repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. So, if somebody opposes us, which always in life, people think differently than I do. So there's going to be some of you who don't agree with everything that I do or say. But if you don't, it says to come gently. We always want to rear up, don't we, when we don't agree? We want to rear up and show our authority. We are, this is the way I believe, but according to 2 Timothy here, we need to do it gently. We are disagree, we need to do it gently. Disagree gently with gentleness. Number five, the fifth thing that it mentions there is patience. How many of you have a lot of patience or long suffering? Good. I'm seeing a few hands. That's awesome. I'm not good at that. But not only did it say it here in these verses, but I noticed it's there in the fruits of the Spirit as well. So we need patience to be able to get along, be able to be in unity. First Corinthians 13, this is the love chapter. In verse 4 says, love is patient, love is kind, does not envy, does not boast, it is not proud. So there, that one little verse mentions four of the virtues that we need to walk in unity. And as I said before, we're going to look at the last thing in this line is love. Love is what binds them all together, and that's why it talks about every one of these virtues in the chapter of love in 1 Corinthians 13. So, we're to be long-suffering or patient with one another. Able to get along. Not argumentative, but able to get along. And that brings us to the sixth one it mentions is forbearance. If you bear with one another. Ephesians 4:2 says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. So many times, as I said, it's hard for us to do it in love, isn't it? When we're right, we're right, and we want people to know we're right. And if you're wrong, I want you to know that you're wrong. Right? I mean, isn't that the way we are? So we need to have forbearance. We need to bear with one another. And instruct gently, as it said, as we talked about there a little earlier. Seventh thing it mentions there in Colossians chapter 3 is forgiveness. Need to forgive. Matthew 6:12, the Lord's Prayer says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And there's a lot of different places we could go with this one with forgiveness. I could do a whole morning just on that, couldn't I? Or any one of these virtues, I suppose. We could spend all day talking about any one of them. But as we're preparing our hearts to walk in unity, we need to have forgiveness. We have to be able to forgive. Because there are going to be occasions when someone offends us or does something that we don't particularly like. Probably not here because we're so close in this body. But as we go out into our workplaces, into the world during the week, we're going to probably meet somebody that offends us once in a while. And we have to be able to forgive. We have to forgive and walk with a heart of forgiveness. And it says, over all these virtues, put on love, in verse 14 there of Colossians, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So, love binds these all together. So, I'm going to finish up in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you don't mind. Because these verses kind of just hook it all together. It just really, really explains how we need to act and feel and walk. And let's begin with verse 4. I'm just going to read 4 through 8. There's a lot of stuff here, but we're just going to look at love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, does not boast, it is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Now that's a big one, isn't it? We want to keep records, don't we? We want to point out that, well, you did this before, so now you're here, you're doing it again. But we don't keep any records. If we love. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. So, as we finish up with these verses, we can see why the Word of God says that this love binds these all together, binds all these virtues together, binds compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience, forbearance and forgiveness together, so that we can walk in unity, so that we can be in one accord, thinking the same thoughts and doing the same things as Christians. We're to be like-minded. As we walk in love with one another, as we share our lives with one another, and I was almost, as we were singing, as we were worshiping this morning, I was almost expecting a cloud to come into the church, because I think of the children of Israel and how God came down in the cloud, and His presence was a cloud. It was. And so I thought, man, maybe we're going to get to see the cloud this morning, because we had awesome worship this morning. I was just blessed by it. I would love to see that some morning. Just, we're all in one accord. We're all worshiping the Lord together, and the cloud comes in, and His presence is real. Wow. Can you imagine? But I just believe as the church comes together in one accord and in unity, that we'll be able to see the Holy Spirit move better. We'll be able to just feel God's presence, because that's where we are. Because that's what everyone wants. Because that's where the Father is. So as you go this week and walk in everything that you do, we all have to go our different ways during the week and do different things, but remember to pray for one another. Lift each other up, because we all need prayer. Intercessory prayer is probably one of the biggest tools we have as we walk together as Christians, because we can move the hand of God as we pray. We've all seen it, haven't we? We've all witnessed and have felt God's healing power, His presence in our lives as people prayed for us. And we've all been to the place where we needed prayer. And we do every week. Some of us had bad little spots every week. Some weeks they're always, I had somebody said, how was your week? So they're all good. Some are just better than others. We do have spots that need God's attention every week. So pray for one another. Guys, come. We'll sing a final song. If any of you have a prayer need this morning, come. We'd love to pray for you. If there's anybody here who has never accepted the Lord as your Savior, I would love to give you that opportunity this morning. Come and we'll pray with you about that. Allow you to accept the Lord as your Savior and walk in His ways.